Is India's governing party to blame for reports of rising Islamophobia? Rights groups say attacks against Muslims have increased since the BJP took power. So, what does growing religious intolerance mean for the future of India? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Mohammed Jamjoum. Left homeless for protesting against hate speech in India. That's what dozens of people whose houses have been demolished say is happening to them. Most are Muslims. The state government of Uttar Pradesh maintains the houses were built illegally. But the demolitions took place as emotions were running high across India. In the past week, people rallied in several cities protesting against offensive comments that two members of the governing BJP made about the Prophet Muhammad. Pavni Mittal reports from Saharanpur in northern India.
Muhammad Ali cries in pain. He says his arm is broken as he pleads for mercy. He was recently arrested for allegedly taking part in a protest. His mother says the accusations are false and authorities are threatening to demolish her family's home.
My sister-in-law visited him. She said his hands were swollen. He told her the swelling was even worse a few days ago. He begged her to get him out. He was crying like a child.
Hundreds of thousands of people across India recently protested against Nupur Sharma. She was suspended from the governing BJP for making Islamophobic remarks. Now the BJP-run government of Uttar Pradesh state is cracking down on dissenters. Authorities have demolished at least four homes belonging to Muslims. They say the houses were built illegally. Part of the top floor of Bashid's home in Saharanpur town has been destroyed. His mother says authorities threatened the family as they arrested him.
We were terrified. I locked the door, but they demanded we open it. I went to the terrace and asked them why. They had already arrested my son. I asked if they wanted to kill me. That's when they switched on the bulldozer.
At least 300 people have been arrested nationwide. Others have been booked for hate speech. Many of them are Hindus.
Local authorities say they've received names of dozens of protesters and will begin examining their homes for irregularities. That's sparking fear in this town that more demolitions could be carried out.
Courts have recently condemned similar demolitions, but authorities say these are part of a larger anti-encroachment drive in the state.
It is going on, and people who had certain illegalities in their houses or in their official premises. The list is already, the development authorities, the civic authorities keep on taking action against them. It is done as a routine measure, and it has been done against one of the main instigators of the violence.
Many people are protesting against these demolitions. They say the government is trying to intimidate dissenters and is singling out Muslims. Muhammad Ali's mother is trying to free him. She says she has faith the law will side with her family. Pavni Mittal, Al Jazeera, Saharanpur in northern India.
Monitoring groups say there's been an increase in attacks on Muslims since Hindu nationalist Narendra Modi became prime minister in 2014. India-administered Kashmir, the only Muslim-majority state, had its constitutional autonomy revoked in 2019. Rights organizations have documented mass graves, torture, and extrajudicial killings carried out by the Indian armed forces. In 2020, dozens of people were killed in protests against a new citizenship law that fast-tracks nationality for some minorities but excludes Muslims. Laws against slaughtering cattle, anti-conversion legislation, and bans on headscarves have legitimized discrimination against religious minorities, especially Muslims. Prime Minister Modi has been criticized for his silence on hate speech, which often comes from within his own party. All right, let's go ahead and bring in our guests in New Delhi. Fatima Khan is a journalist at The Quint. In Kochi, Tulasi K. Raj is a lawyer at both the Supreme Court of India and the Kerala High Court. Also in New Delhi, Ashish Shukla is a journalist and author. A warm welcome to you all, and thanks so much for joining us today on Inside Story. Fatima, let me start with you today. So demonstrators in different cities have been protesting against the demolition of homes owned by Muslims. The local government says that the buildings had been constructed illegally, but rights groups say that this is part of an attempt to intimidate Muslims. Is there any legal justification for the demolishing of these homes owned by Muslims?
Right. So you have to look at this in context of what's been happening in the country for the last couple of months. Forget years, but just in the last couple of months, there has been a pattern of this exact same thing happening one after the other in BJP-ruled states. There is some violent spurt between two communities, or there is some sort of a small-scale riot and or a clash. And the very next day or the day after, hordes of Muslim houses are demolished. And the justification given, okay, on the one hand, the government also says that this is our way to punish stone pelters or those creating violence in society. And on the other hand, they also give a legal justification saying that no, look, these are illegal houses. It is a bizarre coincidence, and it's not lost on anyone why these demolitions are taking place just days after the violence, why those accused of said violence are then being punished in this way. I would like to reiterate that none of these people have been convicted of any crime. They have not, that very few have even FIRs filed against them. So purely on the basis of accusations leveled by the state police, their houses are being demolished, their houses are being reduced to rubble. And many of them, in fact, the house that was demolished in Allahabad, now known as Prayagraj, was of a young activist called Afreen Fatima, and her father, Javed Mohammed. Both of them are activists. They are vocal critics of the government. They have been for a couple of years now. And so when their houses are demolished like this overnight, the just to reiterate that the notice was put on their house after 10 p.m. on Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon, their house was demolished. They weren't giving, even legally, there is so much discrepancy because they weren't given enough time to even show cause. And when this something like this happens, of course, you're directly targeting the critics, but you're also sending out a message to all the Muslims across the country that if you speak up too loudly against the government, your house, the one place you're supposed to feel secure in, will be demolished and raised to the ground.
Ashish, let me get your perspective on this, because you heard Fatima there talk about some of these cases of well-known activists who have had their houses demolished, activists like Mohammed Javed, who she mentioned in her answer. And you know, there are Hindu nationalist politicians who are known for their sectarian rhetoric against the country's Muslim minority. They have been calling on authorities to demolish the homes of people accused of crimes. Does that not violate constitutional laws that ban collective punishment?
See, as far as I know, there is a case pending with Allahabad High Court, and that is that these bulldozers who are being run on the activist you call activist, the police and the administration call them rioters, because a week back, India witnessed a simultaneous, a very coordinated route to what appeared to stoning at various places in various states. So the fact is that the court is taking a call on it. As for the fact that these people had the wrong end of the stick and the administration of the BJP-ruled states punished them, it is also a fact that these notices of illegal construction was given back in May, at least in the case of Mohammed Javed, who is in the center of everyone's attention because his daughter, Farina, she was also involved in the protest in JNU, Jawaharlal Nehru University, a couple of years back. So there has been a history of them speaking on issues where the Indian government has moved, like Citizenship Amendment Act and this present one. So all things being said, it is a fact that these activists have a history of disturbing law and order at different places in the country. And there is also a history that these houses were given notices a month back. It is not, even though the notice was plastered on Mohammed Javed's house on 11th of June and 12th the demolition began, the authorities' justification is that he hadn't been replying to a series of notices. And the last notices did say that if you don't do it, it would be done on 12th. Mm. So that being so, The opinions aside, the prejudices aside, the fact is that they have gone to the court, and if the court deems fit that this has been done illegally and with a view to harass a few individuals, particularly those who are Muslims, the court would take a call. And the court has been pretty good, because you remember in Jahangirpuri, when a similar demolition drive was on, the court intervened and stopped the government in its tracks.
Fatima, I see that you want to jump in. I just want to go to Tulsi first to get a legal perspective on this. Tulsi, we have heard from many in India, from officials who have said that these demolitions are being done because of illegal construction. We have heard from many activists who have said that these demolitions are being done because it is a crackdown on dissent and activism. From your perspective, are these when these homes are being demolished, is that actually legal?
Thank you for the question. I believe as far as the law is concerned, no law permits a demolition without sufficient notice. Secondly, laws do not permit an action of taking revenge by the state in this manner, purportedly in response to certain protests which were made by the members of the Muslim community. So these two aspects, I think, are extremely important to note. India is still a democracy. And there is a right to peaceful protest that's guaranteed under the Constitution, under broadly the right to life. There is a space for dissent in the country. You can criticize the government. You can disagree with the government. And every time you disagree with the government, if this is the way that the government is reacting to it, by just using its police power to antagonize you, to provoke you, and just go over and bulldoze your homes, then I would think that India is becoming much less of a democracy than it ever was. And that is the larger problem that we are facing here. On the law, it's in fact completely antithetical to the constitutional values, antithetical to the legislations which are in place, which provide for due process, due notice, the right to hearing, and a variety of other rights which are part and parcel of the principles of natural justice. None of them are being complied in most of these cases. Various people whose houses have been already demolished do not know on what account has this happened, on the basis of which particular protest, on the basis of which particular participation, on what day has this action been taken by the state. So you can see that there is an absolute darkness as far as the allegations are concerned. And the cost that is imposed on the people who are, as Fatima rightly said, who are yet not convicts, but only accused of certain offenses, is quite large. Essentially, they have been just rendered homeless in a country that is not doing so well on welfare measures to begin with. And overnight, being rendered homeless for actions whom you do not have any clue what you have exactly done is a tragedy of the day. And I think that global leaders as well as global citizenry need to take note of what is happening in India, which is extremely scary and frightening for Indian Muslims.
Fatima, let me get back to you now. I know you wanted to respond to what Ashish was saying, so please go ahead.
Yes, a couple of things very quickly. One, I've interviewed Afreen's younger sister. She's 19 years old. She's been living in that home all her life. The house was built 20 years ago. It was a gift from her maternal grandfather to her mother. And she tells me that for the last 20 years, the family has very dedicatedly, regularly been paying all its taxes, house tax, water tax, all its bills in the mother's name. So one, it's the father who's been accused of the crime. It's the mother who owns the house. So that is your discrepancy number one. If it is the mother who owns the house, why is she being punished? The father has absolutely no ownership rights with the house. First. Secondly, if it is, for the sake of argument, if it is in fact an illegal house, why has the establishment, why has the administration been accepting all the house taxes, all the bills for 20 straight years? Why was this illegality never considered until months before, until in all these 20 years? Third, again, for the sake of argument, let's say it is an illegal house and let's say they did get a notice well in advance. So then you're saying that this house has been demolished because it is illegal. But the speaker on your panel also said that these people are known for disrupting. The police, while demolishing, gave bites to the media saying that, oh, you know, these people, they played a key role in the riot. So which one is it? Is it that their house is demolished because it is illegal, or is it because they're rioters? Because the minute you bring in that angle, because the minute you start saying that, oh, no, you know what, these people played a key role in the violence and hence we are doing this, you're effectively saying that is that this is revenge being meted out by the state against its citizens. This is straight out of Israel's playbook, I'd like to reiterate. In fact, even Israel, when it goes ahead and demolishes houses, it does it in occupied territory. It doesn't do this demolition of houses against its own citizens of Palestinian ethnicity. So this is even worse. This is the state being vengeful against its own supposed citizens who have now been reduced to second-class citizens.
Ashish, I saw you raising your hand there. You wanted to jump in. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't want to jump in. I just want to make a few clarifications. Mm. I mean, that why we are equating the charges against Mohammad Javed with the illegal construction which was being demolished. Now, first of all, the house hasn't been demolished. The front of the house, a part of it has been demolished. Two, they could be two completely separate issues. There is an issue of illegal construction which is being pursued for over a month, and there is an activity which happened a few days back for which Mohammad Javed was said to be the mastermind. Now she says, I respect her opinion, and she must have read it somewhere, where she says that the police actually said that these people were behind it and that's why it's being done. The police had no role to play in it. Police only went as a protection to the authorities, the local authorities, the Prayagraj Development Authority, PDA, whose job is to see that encroachments and illegal constructions are destroyed. Now, we can jump, we can connect the dots and say that this has happened because these people were held responsible for a terrible riots, stone throwing and violence which happened in Prayagraj, where a number of policemen were injured, seriously injured. And so I mean that these are two separate issues. But in case we want to say, let the court decide whether it was done with their prejudice or they were two separate issues, which, as luck would have it, happened alongside.
Tulsi, yeah. This week there was a letter that was sent to the Chief Justice of India's Supreme Court. There are six prominent former judges and there are six senior lawyers who are saying that the government in Uttar Pradesh state had acted illegally by demolishing the house of a Muslim activist following the protests. I want to ask you first, how significant is it that this letter is being sent? And I also want to ask you, you know, in your opinion, could the judiciary in India have done more to stop these evictions, to stop the demolishing of these homes? Has the judiciary been passive when it comes to allowing anti-Muslim policies to keep going on?
It's a very important question, and I think we should first look at the context in which judicial activism operates in India. So it is important to note that courts in India, in particular the Supreme Court, is an extremely interventionist and an activist court. It is not a deferential court. It does not defer decisions to the executive as much as the courts do in the UK or in Germany or various European countries. So this is the context in which we are talking about, that we have a very active, very eager judiciary. And if we look at how the judiciary is reacting to something which I would describe as a fundamental political crisis in contemporary India, I would think that as a lawyer, I'm not quite optimistic about the court's intervention. Courts since 2014, especially the Supreme Court, has been extremely deferential towards the central government. It has been adopting several tactics not to hear cases against the government and not to sort of make adverse remarks against the government in a series of cases. And there have been instances where there have been substantial rights violations, and the government was supposedly the culprit, and the courts refused to have a clear look at it. So this is the context in which we are talking about since 2014, in which we should assess whether we should, you know, we should keep some optimism, we should keep some hope in favor of the courts. And I would think no, considering a series of judgments which have come from the court in the past years. Mm. If you look at various judgments, we will see that the court has been quite active in declaring aspects about civil liberty. For example, we have the judgment which said that adultery is no longer a criminal offense. We have the judgment in Navtej, which said that the penal provision which prohibited unnatural sex, as it's called, is unconstitutional. But when it comes to concrete political issues, where the central government is at the helm of affairs and is necessarily the culprit, the courts have been quite hesitant to interfere. So I would not keep any serious optimism on the Supreme Court or on any of the courts in this political juncture.
Fatima, I just want to take a step back for a moment and ask you a broader question. That question is, in your perspective, from your perspective, what does growing religious intolerance mean for the future of India?
I mean, India in the last 8 years has really descended into this absolute nation that most of us don't even recognize, very honestly. It's heartbreaking. But at the same time, as reporters, as journalists, it's our job to cover these issues. And day in and day out, this is just one of many issues of religious discrimination, of harassment meted out by the state. In a lot of cases, it is done by its paraphernalia. And what it effectively means is that Muslims are then rendered second-class citizens, and in effect, they feel like they don't even belong in their own country, the country that they chose, the country that they opted for during the partition in 1947. They did not go to Pakistan and they chose India. And today, 75 years later, when things like this happen, when they are not safe in their home because you don't know when it will be raised to the ground, when hijab-wearing girls are not allowed entry into their schools and colleges in Karnataka, when mob lynching and cow vigilantism becomes commonplace, when Muslim men are harassed and attacked in the name of love jihad, effectively all of these things, little by little, they make you less and less optimistic about the state of this country, especially the Muslims. I cannot tell you the number of Muslims in the last 5 years who have left this country or who are thinking of leaving this country, because that's how difficult it has become to survive here and also live as just dignified, equal citizens.
Ashish, we only have a couple of minutes left. There have been protests that have been held in several cities against two former officials of the BJP. They had made remarks about the Prophet Muhammad that many considered offensive. Prime Minister Modi has so far not commented on the controversy over these remarks. Why has he not said anything, especially at a time when there is so much criticism of the government's stance?
I tell you what. You see, we definitely know about Nupur Sharma, who was dismissed and said to be a fringe element by the BJP. And this letter wouldn't have been drafted without the Prime Minister's consent, because his reputation in the Middle East, in the Arab world, is quite high. And it has struck a very good note with across the spectrum, be it Israel and Saudi Arabia, who usually haven't gone along well, or with Iran lately. So I say that when you say that there have been other people than Nupur Sharma who have made remarks against the Prophet, I'm not aware of it. I simply am not aware of it. If you are saying so, it must be true. Because Modi at this juncture would not like to derail whatever he has done in the last year, 8 years. Whatever welfare schemes have been initiated, and there have been many because of which India has grown enormously in the last few years, There have not been any discrimination where Hindus have got it and Muslims haven't got it. You see, there has been one particular issue has to be understood. Hindus have come to power and they have retained power in the form of BJP in 2014. And this rise of Hinduism definitely kinds of trouble because it has been a new thing. And the latent fears of minorities like Muslim people, it is very natural that they are anxious. And when they see none of their MLAs and MPs are elected, it intensifies. And whenever even the small remark in 1.3 billion people is made, it is made as if the entire nation is against Muslims. At the ground level, I still feel we work along beautifully. Whenever there is an attempt to say that India is bursting in flames, I think it is little over the mark, because there are a lot could also be said about the targeted killings in Kashmir, about these riots. When you say protest, you see the kind of stones which were coordinated. It came on a particular day at a particular hour outside the masjid. People came with tons of stones and start throwing and hurting people and cars and policemen and all that. So that also is a concern for the neutral citizen, because he knows that the profits mark was made by a BJP functionary
Ashish.
Who was dismissed
Ashish.
And has been initiated.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but yeah. We have run out of time, so we're going to have to leave the conversation there. Thanks so much to all of our guests, Fatima Khan, Tulasi Raj, and Ashish Shukla. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. For me, Mohammed Jamjoum, and the whole team here in Doha, bye for now.